Hello, listeners. This is Pastor TK sitting here for Prophetess Campbell on today. We want to lift her up in prayer. She had a death in her family. Her father passed, and his homegoing celebration is today. So before we begin anything, we're going to start off with a little prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we come to tell you to thank you, God, because you're wonderful, you're kind, you're merciful, and you look over us even when we don't look over ourselves, God. Right now, God, we ask you to uplift Prophetess Campbell and her family in this time of need, God. Just give them strength, God, and let them know that all things are working for our good, that everything that you have done in our life is intentional, God. God, bless those who are weak in their heart, weak in their mind, God. Give them strength. Give them a will to want to serve and love you, God. And we give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hello, listeners. As you can see on today, this is Eve's Corner, but I am not Eve. Maybe Steve or Frank, but not Eve. We're going to leave that up to Prophetess Campbell. But I am Pastor TK, Pastor Kent, Terrence Kent, out of Memphis, Tennessee, sitting in for her today. I hope I do her justice. I hope I please the listeners and the callers. I want her to let me come back on her show. I don't want to destroy the show. If you have anything you want to talk about on today, you can just give me a call. On my mind today, what I was going to talk about a little bit is just a few things that I've been seeing. I'm here in Memphis, Tennessee, and right now one of the things that are going on in Memphis is the murder rate and the crime rate is real high. We're in maybe 100 days into the year, 120-something days into the year. I'm not exactly sure, but we're already at 87 murders in the city. That's 87 murders in the city, 100 days in. We're probably three-fourths of the year someone has gotten murdered in the city. My question for us as the people of God, what are we not doing to help our nation? What are we not doing to uplift the body of Christ, to kind of help some of the things that are going on in our neighborhoods? I am a man of God. I love the Lord. I love church. But what happened to go out into the highways and byways? What happened to going out and sheep begotten sheep? Have we gotten away from that? Have we lost our will to minister? Have we just lost focus of what it was that Jesus was doing? People say all the time, I want to be like Christ. I want to be Christ-like Christians. Well, I never saw or heard read in the Bible anywhere where Jesus just sat in the church. He was always in the city. He was always dealing with the unchurched people. He was dealing with the lepers, the nasty people, as we call them. He was dealing with the blind, the people who couldn't see their way. He was dealing with the poor. He was dealing with the hungry. But it seems like us as Christians trying to be Christ-like, we're not dealing with it. And so I just want to hear some of your ideas or some of your comments on today. So you can give us a call. Give me a call and let me know how you feel, what's on your mind. Until then, I'm gonna let you know a little bit about myself. Let me slow down because I done got excited. I done got hyped because I'm one of those radical people for God. I love God, and I'm very transparent. And I tell people everywhere I go a little bit about myself, a little bit about my transparency. I was brought up in a single-parent home. I love my mom. I love my father. My father's passed away. But I was brought up in a single-family home. I started gangbanging when I was 13 years old. I left home maybe when I was 14, 15 years old. I stayed on the streets. I am a ex-drug dealer. I'm an ex-drug user. I'm an ex-hypocrite. I'm an ex-fornicator. Because once I really found God, I found God for real. He wasn't lost. Let me straighten it out. Once I connected with God, because people say, God was chasing me. Yeah, I was running. But when I found God for real, he turned me around and let me be for real. Let me be real. I try to be as real as possible. It took me a couple of times to, quote unquote, find God. Even after I got into the church and got married, I became super Christian, overly Christian, and I didn't know how to be a husband, and I stepped out on my wife, and I got divorced. But even until that, God gave me another chance to be remarried. I'm the father of five boys and one baby girl. But most of all, I love God. I love God. Now I run a program in Memphis, Tennessee called Thug Ministries. That's Teaching Healing Unto Teaching Healing Unto Grace Ministries. What it is a gang ministry that helps youth that no longer want to be a part of the gangs. That gives them an opportunity, a safe haven to get out of some of the gang violence and some of the problems that they're having in their life. I can say I do a lot of stuff, but I haven't done anything. It's all to the glory of God. I'm a transparent person, and I just love the Lord. Amen. Again, that is, I am Pastor TK. I'm sitting in for Prophetess Campbell on today. We lifted her up in prayer, her and her family. They're celebrating the homegoing of her father on today. And we just pray strength on her life and her family's life. I was speaking about some of the things that I've been through, and I was telling my testimony of how far God has brought me. A question that I posed before I disconnected myself from the world was, what can we do, or where have we gone as a church? Where have we gone as Christians? Where have we fallen short to help the youth in our community? Where have we fallen short to help stop some of the crime that's going on around us? What can we do to solve some of these low self-esteem that some of our children have? What can we do to stop some of the bullying that our children go through? And so just give me a call. Just let me know how you feel about this. Let me know what's going on. Let me know, is there anything that you're doing in your community to help some of the situations? So maybe I can link up with you and you can link up with me as the body of Christ, and we can, two or three gather and two or three agree. Maybe we can stop some of this crime in our areas. Maybe we can get out and go back to the highways and byways and we got more sheep for the body of Christ. That's what it's about. It's about us ministering to one another. It's about us going out and helping. It's about us giving our youth a way of escape. It's about us dealing with some of the realistic problems that are going on. One of the things that I've been doing, I stated earlier, I have five boys and a baby girl. One of the things that I try to help is, a pet peeve of mine is, I really can't stand our youth, our young men, walking around with their pants showing their underwear, for better words. I can't stand it. And I'm seeing them at a younger age doing these things. I'm seeing them at 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, walking around doing what they call sagging and stuff. And so I'm asking a question. Parents, why don't we buy clothes big enough, because these kids can't purchase their own clothes? Why don't we buy clothes that are big enough for our youth to to walk around with their pants sagging? Why do we buy clothes that are provocative for our young ladies not to be girls anymore? We're dressing them up as older women now. What are we doing? What happened to us having our young ladies covered and being girls? What happened to us dressing our young men up? I asked a few of the young men that are at the church I attend, and one of the things I asked them was, you know, how many of y'all have a suit? And they all kind of gave me this look like, oh, man, we don't wear suits anymore. We don't do that anymore. What happened to us dressing our kids up, making them feel like something? What happened to, even on Facebook, I've looked around in some of the prom pictures, and, you know, it's like the women are wearing less and the men are wearing just everyday clothes. It's no formality to it anymore. Nothing formal about what we're doing. And so a lot of my questions on today that I'm just throwing out there, you know, just for, you know, you can call in and give me a response, or just to put in the air, where are we as parents falling short? You know, where are we as parents not knowing where our 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds are at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? Why are there youth walking the streets at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night? You know, there's just things to think about. You know, what happened to when I get up to go to church, you get up and go to church, but we let the children stay at home? What happened to one of the things that my mother used to say all the time, when you hear grown folks talking, be quiet. You know, but nowadays I hear children overtalk the adults. You know, what happened to correction? What happened to the generation of us correcting our children? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying beating our children. I'm not saying putting our hands on our children. But what happened to parents being parents and not parents being best friends? That's just something to think about. You know, where have the church of today, the parents of today, fallen short? You know, because let's be honest, we're falling short. Some of the things I see the youth do on today, I was, you know, even gangbanging, I was terrified to do some of these things. You know, at 9 and 10 years old, I was terrified to be out at 12, 1 o'clock at night. I didn't even have a watch, but I knew when the streetlight came on, I had to be in the house. You know, maybe I'm just old school, but that's the way I was taught. I was taught to, even when I did what I did with my boys, when I saw the elderly coming or I saw a lady coming, hold the door open for her. What happened to that? What happened to, I remember some of the young men when I grew up with, you know, they would be cursing or we would be cursing. But when we came across a church, the first thing one of us would say, hey, don't talk like that on church ground. You know, what happened to those days? You know, so just let me know what you think. Just give me a call. We're here again. This is Eve's Corner. Prophetess Campbell is out on today, and she invited her best friend, her partner, her nephew, her cousin. I can be her, but you know, just her roadie, Pastor TK, out of Memphis, Tennessee. First of all, I give honor to God. I give honor to my pastor, Pastor David Gillard at the Faith Center here in Memphis, Tennessee. I thank God for all you listeners who listen to her on a continuous basis. Keep supporting her ministry. Keep supporting Eve's Corner. She's doing great things in Mississippi and Tennessee and in other parts of the country. Keep supporting her ministry. She's good ground. So give into good ground. Bless good ground. I promise you, if you sow into good ground, your seed, your harvest will prosper. You'll see your harvest grow. But on today, I'm just shooting out different topics, just different concerns. I know, and I know I say a lot. my concern, I deal with youth a lot. I'm crazy about the youth, and so I'm just shooting out different topics and different things that I have been thinking about, different things that concern me about our youth. Are we, as churches, we're building more cathedrals, but are we giving our children things to do? You know, we're building big, big, great edifices and cathedrals, but do our children have summer camps? We depend a lot on the world to do stuff for our kids. We depend a lot on the world to do things for our youth. But these are our youth that we're losing. This new generation is not respecting God like we used to. So how do we get back to God? We're losing God. How do we get back to God? How do we get back to prayer? Just because they banned prayer in school, do we pray with our children in the morning before they go to school? Do we pray with our children at night? Just a question for us adults, for us parents. Other than at church, do our youth, do our children see us pray in the home? Do we still sit down and have dinner together, and do we pray together? Or are we too busy buying things and we're missing out on our communion time with our youth and our family? Are we too busy concerned about the next episode of Empire to read a scripture to our child? You know, it's a bad thing when our children only know Jesus well. What about the rest of the Bible? What about the rest of the Word? You know, I know people say, oh, that's old-fashioned. I know people say that, oh, technology has taken over. Well, me and my sons, they both have iPads. But one of the apps they have on their iPad is the Bible. And one thing that I have for them to keep their iPad, is every week they have to tell me a different scripture that they have learned. You know, what are we doing to help our youth? You know, we're quick to say stuff like, oh, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. But that goes for us as adults too, with God's children. Why don't we want God to, you know, we want God to spare the rod for us, you know, but we're allowing our youth to do what they do, you know. Are we good examples, Christians? Come on, church people. Are we good examples to our children? You know, do our children know just as many gospel songs as they do secular songs? You know, these are just questions that I'm just throwing out there. Don't get mad at Prophetess Amina. This is just, you know, she told me to have my way on today. So these are just things that I'm concerned about, because I can tell you about the things that are going on in Memphis. That's where I am, in Memphis, Tennessee. And like I stated earlier, there are 87 murders in the city this year. We're only in the fifth month of the year. There are 87 murders in the city this year. 45 or 46 of them, I think, have been committed by someone under 21. And I guarantee out of those children, half of them attend someone's church. So where have we fallen short as a body of Christ? Why are we so scared of correcting our children instead of being their best friend? What can we do because I'm a part of this too. I'm no greater than anyone else. What can we do to better our youth? I'm going to keep repeating this because I really want people to hang up or come away with something on their mind of what can I do personally to help my community? What can I do to help my youth? You know, I can't, before I help my community, let me start at home. You know, one thing that my mom did as I got a little older and I went back to her home, when she got up to go to church, she allowed me to be grown and go out on Saturday night. And sometimes I would come in real late, real early in the morning, thinking I wouldn't have to go to church. But she would say things like this: "Hey, you don't have to go to church, but you will have to sit on the porch until I get home." And I'm not going to sit on the porch. Sometimes, you know, it's 10, 15 degrees outside. So I get up and I go to church, whether I wanted to or not. But I found myself a few times, one of my sons, my older son was like, "Dad, I'm sick. Dad, I'm..." You know, and I found myself compromising with him, compromising the gospel with him, compromising the word of God with him. But we can't compromise with our children. That's just like us compromising our spirits with the enemy, with the devil. If you compromise with the devil, he will take over. If you compromise with the enemy, he will defeat you. We can't compromise. We can't give the devil no watered down scripture because the devil knows the scripture. So why do we allow our children to get watered down word or watered down gospel or watered down church? Why do we allow our children to just do what they feel like they want to do? You know, we purchase everything for them. I know me, I spoil my children. They have four times as much as I had when I was young with a youth. They can change shoes four or five times a day. They can change clothes. They have computers. They have video games. They have cell phones. And so we purchase them all these things, but we don't give them any time. We don't give them any God. So, again, call in. Where do we get back to God? Where can we get back to saving our children, saving our streets? These are our children. And so, give me a call. Just let me know. If you're out there listening, let me know. How do you feel about this? Let me know what's going on. If you have some positive things, let me know what you're doing in your community. Let me know what your church is doing to help the community. You know, because there are some people out here that's helping the community, that's building things for the kingdom, that's helping our youth grow. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, there are a few different programs that are out. Like I say, there's Thug Ministries. Me, who was part of a ministry, we're helping to get some of the youth in the gangs, some of the youth out of the gangs and off the street. We're trying to get them alternatives. We're trying to help them get jobs for the summer because we don't want our children just sitting stagnant. There's a ministry here in Memphis called Boys to Men, where the gentlemen teach our children correct ethnics and correct procedures and postures, teaching our young men how to be men, teaching them how to dress, how to tie a tie. There's a whole lot of young men out here don't even know how to tie a tie. Teach them how to conduct themselves in a job interview. Teach them how to speak and talk and how to open doors for ladies and elderly. Teach them how to pull the chair out and push the chair up for ladies. Just different things that the boys to me, and I commend them. The Grizzlies basketball team, hey, go Grizzlies. They have different programs for the youth during the summer. And there are different churches. And, you know, there's a church here, New Direction Christian Ministry. They have a summer program. There's a Temple of Deliverance, Church of God in Christ here in Memphis. They have different programs during the summer. And I know there are others. I can't call all of them, but there are other people that are doing things for the summer. If your church is doing something for the summer, if your church is stepping out, you know, just give us a call and give us, so we can let the people know there are things out here for our youth. Let the people know that everyone is not dropping the ball, that everyone is not giving up on our youth. I refuse to give up on our youth because someone didn't give up on me. And there's a pastor, he's passed away now, Pastor Bennett Dean. He didn't give up on me. There's a pastor, he's passed away, Samuel Herring. He didn't give up on me. These are people who prayed for me. These were people who told me, look, you're better than that. These were people who said, yeah, hey, you can be anything you want to be. Just because you've had a few stumbles in life, that it's not over. You know, it's not over till God says it's over. There are a few men that were in my life that taught me how to be a man. You know, so many times I hear, which is a correct statement, I hear mothers say, well, I can teach him how to be a good boy, but I can't teach my son how to be a man. Well, now I'm honest to say, men, where are you? Let's step up and help some of these ladies, help some of these young men to be men. You know, we're quick to call them out when we feel like they're quote-unquote thugs, but they're only being what they're taught. If us as men of God don't teach our young boys how to be men, well, the world will teach them how to be thugs. If our ladies, if our mothers of God, our women of God, are not helping our young women and telling and showing them their values, well, then they're going to grow up to be not so much of a young woman, as they call them on the street, thoughts. And so we don't want our children to be labeled as these things. We don't want our children to be put out as something other than perfection. We are children of God. We are blood-bought trophies of the cross. Jesus paid a price for us. And one thing that will hurt my heart is if I bought my son a brand-new computer and he really needed it to save his life, and he looks at it, and then he throws it on the ground. He steps on it, and then when he needs it again, he comes back to me and say, Dad, I need a new computer. Well, sometimes I think God or Jesus feels like that. Sometimes I feel like when we need him, when we need grace, or we cry out to him, but when everything is going good, we seem to throw him down, put him to the side until we need him again. We step on everything he achieved. And not only do we do that in our lives, we're allowing our children to emulate what we're doing. We're allowing our children to be part-time Christians. You know? I tell people all the time, my pastor says this also all the time, what matters is not what you do in church on Sunday. It's what you do after the benediction. What are you doing at home? Are you praying with your children? Again, I say that all the time. Are you praying with your children? We fuss about them, the government or people taking prayer out of the school. But who took prayer out your house? We complain about what our children see on TV. But aren't you riding in the car with them when they're listening to whatever they want to listen to? Are you not also sitting there on the couch with them when they're watching whatever they want to watch? What are you depositing, mother? What are you depositing, father, into our youth lives? Does it sound like I'm fussing? Yes. But I'm not only fussing at you, because I am part of this problem also. But I want to be a big part of the solution. So, hey, what are we doing? Come on, saints of God. We know word. And if we know word, when are we going to apply it? You know, what are we doing after the benediction? Or are we just dressing up for the fun of it? Come on, let me hear you out there. Again, Prophetess Campbell is not in on today. I'm sitting in for her. I'm Pastor TK out of Memphis, Tennessee, of the Faith Center. Hey, Faith Center. I'm sitting in on her for today. We're sending up strength to God. We're sending up our prayers on the passing of her father. His homecoming going is today, and I pray God's strength in their lives. I pray God's understanding in their lives. But on today, our topic is not really a topic. I'm more just conversing with the body of Christ. This is a 911 to help our youth. This is a 911 to help the body of Christ. How do we get, as the body of Christ, get our youth back? How do we claim our streets back? You know, do we have enough big church buildings yet that we can go out and get the children? You know, why are there so many liquor stores and crack houses close to churches? What are we doing? Why do our children come to church looking like they're going to the club? You know, where has the church gotten soft at? And where can we get back to God? You know, I hear the old saints say all the time, holiness is still right. We might not talk about it anymore, but holiness is still right. Where are the wailing women? Where are the praying men? Come on. Why are the altars in the churches so empty nowadays? Where did we lose God at? You know, we stop worshiping and start entertaining. When did God become a Broadway show? When did church singing, church choirs become competition? This new church, where did we leave God at? And how can we go back and get him? These are things to think about. You know, we talk about the Achans in the camp. Are we the Achan in the body of the Christ? Are we hindering God? What are we doing? Today is self-check day. How can we get back to God? How can we get back from whence we lost our love for Christ? Just see things to think about. Again, I'm sitting in for. And if you're not happy about some of the things that I'm speaking of, I really, really, really hope that you'll do something about it. Change your community. Change some of the things that are going on in your household. Change some of the things that are going on in your church, in your community. You know, I'm not dealing with the unchurched. Right now I'm talking to the church people, the Christian, the Jesus chasers, the God lovers, the every Sunday, twice on Tuesday, once on Wednesday churchgoers. That's who I'm speaking with. I'm speaking with the body of Christ. How do we get our power back. That's something that one thing my pastor says a lot. We're too busy chasing popularity and not chasing power. I don't have to be popular. I want power. I don't care who kills the devil as long as he dies. And I want the devil to die in my neighborhood because I want our youth back. I want our love for God back. I want our youth to know that they're special, that they're the next generation. I'm not dwelling on Black Lives Matter. I'm dwelling on Lives Matter. We're losing our children. We fuss about the police killing our children, but our children are killing our children. And these are church children. These are youth. I go to juvenile court sometimes, and 85% of the children that's in juvenile know God. 85% know God. They have been in somebody's church. 85% have been on somebody's Easter speech, Easter program. These are our, and I really put emphasis on our. These are our children. Where have we lost our children? Where have we lost our drive? Now, I know some of y'all may be out there writing up a petition to Prophetess Campbell not to never let me back on her show. But that is fine with me as long as we change our communities. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I talk. It's just the passion of what I have for IU. Again, it's your boy, Pastor TK. God's nephew, God's son, God's cousin. I'm your best friend. I'm just a Jesus lover. I'm a junkie for Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a Jesus junkie. And I want everybody to love God like I love God. I want everybody to know that it's not over. I want everybody to know that God is still on the throne. He's still working it out for you. I'm going to change tempos real quick in these last few minutes that I have. But I want to speak to some of the body of Christ. I want you to know that you are not a mistake. Woman of God out there who is feeling like giving up, feeling like everything has turned for the bad for her. Man of God out there who is struggling, he's upset that he wants to take care of his family, but things are not going the way he feels like that they should go right now. Let me tell you, hold on. The devil don't want you to see the ending. The process is what's hard. In the Bible, if you read in Genesis, God tells Adam, it is not good for man to live alone. And then in the next verse says that then God told Adam to name the beasts and the fowls and the creatures of the earth. I'm just paraphrasing. And it goes on, and it's not until Adam names all of the beasts and the fowls and the animals, then God puts Adam into a deep sleep and gives him a woman, gives him a flesh of his rib. And it seems like to me that if God will tell me a problem, then it seemed like in the next verse, it seemed like God would have solved the problem right there. But let's get an understanding of the word real quick. When God says, Adam, it's not good for man to live alone, God did not solve the problem in the next verse. Is maybe God wanted him to go through a process. He wanted him to see that there are things you have to go through to get to the promise. Well, God was giving him a promise. It's not good for you to live alone. So I'm going to give you a mate. I'm going to give you someone to have. I'm going to give you your own, Adam. But until then, Adam, I got to know I can trust you. I can trust you. I can trust that you won't name a bird a wife. I can trust that you won't name a beast a husband. I can trust that you won't name some of these animals something that is not that. Well, some of the problems that we have, women and men of God, maybe we're naming the wrong things. Maybe we're naming a boyfriend a husband. Maybe we're naming a side chick a wife and don't want to go through the process. But we have to understand that everything that we're going through, if God gave you a promise, right after the promise is going to come a process. But all I'm telling you that it may seem bad right now. Things may be going rough right now. But hold on through the process. Because I can see the promise right there in the end. The promise is just a few verses in your life away. If he gave you the answer, if he gave you the problem, he has the answer already. Because he's the author and the finisher. And God is not a man that he can lie. So if he said it, it's going to come to pass. So, woman of God, hold on. Man of God, hold on. You're just in the process. It says, be not weary in well-doing. He didn't say you wasn't going to get weary. He says, don't let weariness be you. Don't sit there and sob. Don't sit there and give up. Be depressed. Don't let these spirits overtake you. You are a winner, man of God. You are a overcomer, woman of God. Hold on. This is just a test. And each test gets worse, rougher, harder. Because new levels bring on new devils. What do we look like graduating from college and having to take a test? But the test we're taking is still on a third grade level. Then it's not pushing us to our full potential. God want to make sure that before he bless you, man of God, with that new job, that you're faithful in tithing over that old job. If he can't trust you to tithe with your $8 an hour, how he's going to give you 18? Woman of God, if he can't trust you to keep that small apartment clean and cook, how he going to trust you with the mansion? These are processes. Don't die in the process. And so that's just something I just wanted to put out there. I just wanted to let y'all know that God has not given up on us. Maybe we're just not spending enough time with God. It comes back to when I was speaking about the youth. Where have we lost God? Sometimes you have to bring stuff back to your remembrance. Another story in the Bible that I was thinking about, I was studying on today, about David. How David was a shepherd boy, and we all know the story about David and Goliath. And people were looking all over trying to figure out who was going to beat this giant. But David stepped up, and because David was chosen. But so David stepped up, and they were telling David, again, paraphrasing, they were telling David, look, David, man, look, little guy, this is a giant. This thing will kill you. You see how he towers over us. And David stated to them, hey, while I was out there tending for my sheep, a bear tried to attack, and a lion tried to attack, and I slew both of them. And so what is this giant in my life, then if God did it back then, he'll do it for me again. Well, some of us right now are going through some situations in our lives that it looks like a giant is in our face. And we're giving up. But sometimes you have to sit down and just praise and pray and worship God. And think about, God has actually brought you through worse. He's already brought you through the bears in your life. You're crying about a light bill. When if you go back in your life, he done saved you from a heart attack. He done cured you from cancer. Sometimes we give up about our job ain't acting right. But wasn't he the same God who helped you when you was homeless? Wasn't he the same God who was there when you had nothing? So sometimes we have to bring in our remembrance. And this goes for all of us in different levels of the church, different levels of God. Look, the disciples were with Jesus. They were with Jesus when Jesus fed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. And so the disciples weren't working so hard that they forgot to eat themselves. And so they got on the boat with just one basket. And they got on the boat with one basket after God pulled them away from the multitude. And then they was looking at this one basket going, hey, we don't have enough for ourselves. How are we going to eat? But weren't you just with Jesus? Didn't you just see him feed 5,000 with just two fish and five loaves of bread? And you got much more than that now? Do you know not what God would do? Well, man of God, woman of God, let me tell you this. You have much more than you had back then. And if he did it back then, what's the little that you have? Why can't you praise God and understand that he'll do it with the much that you have in your life right now? God is not a God that he's wishy-washy. He was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same forevermore. If he fed you in the past, it may look like you're not going to eat today, but I promise you, praise him. You got more than you had at first. God is not going to let you down. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Woman of God, you're his seed. Don't give up. Man of God, hold on. You're his seed. Don't give up. You're right there at the end. Hold on. The devil can take away your things, but he can't take away your faith. You may lose a car every now and then. A house may burn. Some clothes you might can't fit. Oh, but as long as you got your faith, you got everything. I can lose everything, but as long as I don't lose God, I have everything. You hear me? I can lose everything, but as long as he leaves me with God and my faith, I have everything. So on today, I just want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice. Don't let your problems get more praise than your God. Rejoice. You know, I'm going to tell you how we know we have faith and we don't really understand how much faith we have. I can get in my car sometimes, drive 20 miles with the gas light on E, and I promise you, I get a prayer life then. Oh, God, if you just give me that, give me back. And we believe because we keep driving. I'm going to tell you how much I believe. Not only do I just drive them 20 miles, I jump on the expressway and drive fast. Come on now, you know you done did it too. Some of y'all out there listening to your light on right now. But there's faith. Why can you have faith for his gas, but you can't have faith in him to heal your children? Why can you have faith in sitting in a chair and a chair won't fall, but you can't believe in him to keep your household, to keep your mind regulated. Every day you should get up and command your day to be a good day. I see a post on Facebook all the time. Every day she posts, command your day to be the best day of your life. Let's get out of commanding our problems to be the best problems of our lives, or the worst problems of our lives, rather. But let's tell our problems about our God. Like, I know I got a light bill, but God, you done did it before and you'll do it again. God, I know that they're looking for my car right now. Oh, but God, I believe you to be the God to let the repo man not find my address. God, I know that you healed me through a cold before. So right now, God, I have cancer faith. You done did it before. If you can raise the dead, God, I know you can cure cancer. Let's command our day. Let's talk to God instead of talk to our problems. You hear me? Again, this is Pastor T.K. Terrence Kent out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm sitting in for Prophetess Campbell on today. This is still Eve's Corner, so don't change the channel. And I promise you, Eve will be back. Prophetess Campbell will be back. She's just out today. We're celebrating the homegoing of her father on today. And we pray strength in her and her family's lives on today. We give God the praise for his life. We got to give God the praise for everything the Father has done here on this earth. And we thank God for Prophetess Campbell, that even in her time of bereavement, she was thinking about the people of God. She was still thinking about her show. I hope that I have done the show well on today. But I thank God for Prophetess Campbell. And if you love listening to Prophetess Campbell, if you love her ministry, support her ministry. Prophetess Campbell is doing great things over the airwaves and in her ministry. So support Eve's Corner. Go on her website. Go on her Facebook page, Prophetess Amina Campbell. Just support her ministry. Again, she's doing great things. She may have kind of messed up putting old crazy Pastor Kent on for her on today, but I don't apologize for fussing. I don't apologize for being concerned about our youth. I may apologize for my delivery, but this is just who I am. I'm just a nut for God. I'm just crazy and crunk for Christ. I'm just concerned about our youth. I'm concerned about our cities. I'm concerned about our neighborhoods. And I just want everybody to love God. Oh, my God. God is amazing. I want everybody to hold on. I want everybody to keep the faith. I want everybody to understand that
1 minute.
It's a war out here that we're battling. And before I go, I just want you to let everyone know that God is still in the blessing business. God is still in the healing business. He's still in the delivering business. And so before I go, I'm going to pray us out. I thank God for Prophetess Campbell allowing me this time to be on her show today. Again, I send prayers up to God for her strength. Send prayers to God for the strength of her family. I pray that God makes her prosperous in everything that she does in her ministry. And let us pray on today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, we tell you thank you. We thank you for everything you've done. We thank you for who you are. You're a God of a second chance. No, I apologize, God. You're a God of a third, fourth, fifth, and continuous chance. Your grace is sufficient, God, and we thank you, God. Even when we fall short, God, you are right there to pick us up, God. You picked us out, some of us up after mock and murray clay, God. You had to reach way down in the depths to get some of us, God. But you did not leave us there. You was concerned about our souls. You was concerned about giving us another chance to see you in glory. So on today, God, we thank you, God. We ask you just to touch our youth, God. Touch our cities. Touch our hearts, God. Touch our churches, God, that we get back to you, God. God, let tomorrow be a day that the altars be full of us repenting of our wicked ways, God. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you all for having me, and I will see you again if she allows me to come back. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. Amen.